This program is available on this quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audioboo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio, plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
And welcome to Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls. How the devil are you? Are you well? I'm in fine fettle today. It's got to be said, I'm in fine fettle. It's me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, which are still covered in snow. Ha! I've got snow, you haven't. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Poprad. You should be here, book your holiday. And it's the sky's blue, the clouds are white, the sun has got... No, I'm not going there. She's talking while I'm talking. Did you hear that, boys and girls? There was a little bit of the Brunsdon person going because I forgot to tell him I've opened the mic. It's my fault. But over there on the zit of the nose of Europe, the sort of bit that hangs out of your nose, you know that? No, don't go.
That's disgusting.
What's disgusting?
You saying that's hanging out of my nose?
Well, it's a hair.
Oh, it shouldn't be kissing rabbits.
Oh, it's Lee Banks.
I know, and I've got a secret that on Eric Wiltshire that ultimately within the next few minutes I'm going to share with the world.
Uh-oh.
Rachel Brunston understands the secret. She knows what's happened.
Does she?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Oh, what have I done?
You're in trouble, Mr. Wiltshire.
There could be trouble ahead.
And
down there, who can see properly like what we can't, it's the lovely Rachel Brunston.
Hello, everybody. You know what? I'm so happy, and I'll tell you why. I'm glad you asked. It's 10 p.m. in Melbourne, much more respectable than this midnight lark I've been having to do while we had daylight saving.
Oh.
And you did not, and now you have, and we do not, and I get 2 hours back. The other reason why I'm happy is because I missed last week, and now I'm back with you because I missed you.
Oh,
and we missed you too.
We did, actually. That's why we didn't even do a postcard last week.
No, and there were so few words compared to normal when you're here in that show.
Well, that's a pretty much a given, I would reckon.
No. We didn't do a postcard because we didn't think it was apt, so we did something different.
We did, and guess what?
What?
Listeners, everybody else who's up there, we're going to do it again this week as well, because he's still not noticed my emails.
Oh, gosh. And I have to say, you got me out of trouble, Rach, so thank you.
No, it's quite all right.
You did.
And I'm glad I was able to be helpful in that way for once, because usually I'm not very helpful.
You were very
in
helpful.
In respect to the lists, etc.
You were very, very helpful.
How did she help? He's not told me how she helped.
Well, because Rach wasn't here, we had to find a new idea for the programme.
And
we came up with a new idea, and the new idea was that we would do the emails from the listeners that I'd forgotten all about.
That's right.
So Rachel helped me. She was my zillions of miles and kilometres away PA, organising my life without even doing anything. Isn't she clever?
That's brilliant.
I'm the best kind of helper that way. When I know I'm helping, I inadvertently do not help. When I don't know I'm helping, Rachel, I'm very helpful.
The thing is, though, Rachel, you have to look at it this way and take the compliment in its fullest fashion.
Uh-oh.
He liked the idea so much that he used last week that he's doing it again this week, and he's still not noticed.
No.
I haven't.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well,
I did mention it. I remember sending an email earlier.
I've sent him a Skype message about it, and he's just totally ignored me.
I've not been there to do it. I'm not chained to my desk, you know.
No, you take it out for walks at times, aren't you?
Give it a drink.
Would you like me to tell you what the problem is?
Go on, then.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody else who's listening, what we do every week is we have like a set list of subjects or things we're going to talk about and ideas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we had this fabulous one that came out of the fact that Rachel wasn't here. And this week we were going to do something different, but we haven't because he sent last week's list out again. And I keep telling him and he keeps ignoring me.
Did I?
Yes. Well, he said, I wanted to mention something at the beginning, and he said, no, don't worry, that's already in. And I'm thinking, huh? All I've got is a big list of questions that was from last week. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, so you haven't got this week's silent. You haven't got this week's
no.
running order.
No.
I have an idea. Could you plug that into the computer down there for me?
So clearly heavily researched on my part this week, given that I haven't seen it. But it's all right, because you know what? We're professionals.
Well, it's okay, because we have
the listeners will never notice, you know.
Except that we told them. But that's okay.
Do you know what, Lee? You are the epitome of the person I was shouting at yesterday.
Ew! What?
Oh.
I was. You are. You was.
Why?
Oh. Because, hang on a minute. I'll tell you the story. There was some person kept saying... actually emailed me back and go, you haven't responded to my email. And then another one came in a bit later on. You haven't responded to my email.
He wouldn't respond to mine either.
So I said, if I'm not in front of a computer screen, I can't see the emails. Why didn't you phone me? I never thought of that.
I don't know who you're talking about, but I want to defend them.
Why?
Because Mr. State-of-the-Art IT Eric... has a Windows phone similar to mine that tells you every time you get an email.
No.
Yeah, not only that, he's such a MacGyver, he can get his email just by slapping his forehead.
Exactly. Yeah, he gets them by
osmosis. They just pop up in front of him.
Ah.
Sort of like Google Glass.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he's just sent us a list for this week's show.
Oh,
joy. Well,
I had so much
fun. This is really professional radio, isn't it? No, but the thing is, you see, and I've got to get myself out of this one slightly. My work email doesn't come to my phone. It's my home email that comes to my phone.
Ow!
That's fine. Now we understand now, don't we, Rachel?
Yes, you see, because you two have got the other email, whereas the one that comes into my computer typically gets about 1,000 emails a day, on average.
Yeah.
And generally does. And my poor little phone will go, I can't take it anymore, Dad. I want to go home. And so I only have one email address on my phone. You see.
Well, that's
But you could have Lee.
That's the word I'm looking for. What's the word I'm looking for? Is that a feeble?
Is that feeble?
I'm looking for.
But Uncle,
sorry, what were you going to take me to task on?
Uncle Lee, you could have SMS'd me.
If I knew what SMSing was, I would have done it.
It's not something
that's
you
a
do.
Text.
Yes.
I did. I texted you on Skype, and I sent you a message on your phone. I did make the Skype message, but I didn't.
And his farmer in the Dell phone.
Hang on.
His what's phone?
His farmer in the Dell phone. The real phone.
No, there is not a message from you on my phone. I'm looking.
I made that one up as well.
Uh-oh. You fibber. You
me
fibber.
Files.
No, but I send you messages on email. Anyway, this is... Right, it's open.
Oh, my word.
Hey! And I tell you what.
What?
You've sent the same list again.
I haven't.
No, you haven't. Don't worry.
No, I have not. You're fibbing now, Mr. Banks, to the world.
No, I'm not. No, the one I've just opened.
Well, you've opened the wrong one.
Well, the one I've opened is the real one for
Thank
today.
You. Rachel,
you're such a clever girl.
Rachel.
Well, I've only got one thing in front of me, so it's really easy to negotiate.
Right.
As opposed to Uncle, who's got, yes, love.
Would you like to start the programme because he's useless?
I would.
I'm not useless.
I would like to start. Well, I was going to start it anyway because it's a story about us anyway, so that's all good. Well, us. I mean, it's an Australian story. Former Australian cricketer and commentator Richie Beno died today, aged 84.
Oh.
And he was widely regarded as the most respected person in the game's history. He was on our Channel 9 cricket commentary.
Oh, he was everywhere, Rach.
Years, but for me personally, like I grew up with I'm too young to know him as a cricketer, but I grew up with him in the commentary box, and he was just a bit of a legend. And
we knew
he was getting sick because he'd been getting radiation treatment and for skin cancer and stuff like that. But he was 84 years old, and he was a marvelous test captain as well. He was a leg spin bowler, and I think he played 60 something tests, and he was really cool. And the whole country today, as soon as that news broke at about, I think it was about 9 o'clock this morning, 8, 9 o'clock this morning, just social media went B Zerk. It was amazing because he's such a legend and he's so well respected. And even people who don't particularly like cricket, I have a big a juicy heart for him. And it's really sad. Everybody was sort of, what? Oh, no. Even though he's 84 years old and he was sick, it's still a shock when people leave.
It is, because Richie Beno was, to the UK audiences especially, I mean, the man was such a well-known figure on, first of all, the BBC and then Channel 4. Subsequently other, it was on BBC Radio as well. So everybody knows Beno.
Even I know him.
And he had this amazing dry sense of humour as well. And like the best cricket commentators, and I can't say I'm the biggest cricket fan because I'm not, but I adore when the really expert cricket commentators are having to waffle because it's raining and there's no play and there's nothing to fill the programme with. They have to talk about something, and they are phenomenal. And Beno was the same. All these wonderful anecdotal stories were just phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
Yeah, he was great.
Phenomenal.
Truly great. A big loss for us. A big loss.
Yeah. Sorry, Lee, you were going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah.
No, silent. Oh. I was being magnanimous and letting people talk about things they know about. Was he? I know he was on the BBC.
Yeah.
But did he actually commentate in Australia as well on a regular basis?
Oh, he was the head of the commentary team.
Channel 9.
That's fine.
If you want to Google something particularly awesome, there's a legendary comedian in Australia by the name of Billy Birmingham, and he does this thing called The 12th Man, and I swear to God, it's the funniest thing. He takes the mickey out of all of the commentators, but he does a particularly good Richie Beno, and it's brilliant. If you Google it or YouTube it, and The 12th Man, and Billy Birmingham actually came out with a really nice statement today. He said he was bereft and he felt nauseated and he was sick because most of his career's been based on the fact that he could take the mickey out of Richie Beno. And you've got to find it on YouTube. It's so good.
I'll have a look.
Look for The 12th Man. The 12th Man is what you're looking for, and it's funny, funny stuff.
All I don't understand is, at the point of his disconnection with this world, was he actually more connected with the BBC or Channel 9? I assume it was Channel 9.
He's an Australian cricketer and he lived here, so he was more connected with us, I think, at the end. But he would have commentated forever, but he got in a there was a really bad car crash that he was involved in 2013, and he busted his back.
I remember. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So that really just sort of cemented his feet completely out of the commentary box. Yeah. But he'd handed it over to the younger guys too. So, you know, he was still the great grandfather of everything. And he was always there. There was always a presence. And there's a big statue of him outside the Sydney Cricket Ground, and it's really very cool.
Yeah.
So,
I just say something, Eric?
What?
I promise I won't ask another question on this because she'll just go on and on and on and on again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, I'm not asking a question. I've just said I won't.
Oh, you're not going to answer another one?
No, because she'll just go on and on and on and on and on.
No, because, Richie, you've got to understand, Lee, because you're just a philistine and sit in your chair doing nothing.
I do not sit in my chair. I am kneeling on the floor. I've got my hoodie on, and I'm sweating profusely in the glorious sunshine that Britain is offering.
That's Lee's, vain attempt at exercise. Put a hoodie on and sweat.
I know.
nothing to do with sport whatsoever.
Sometimes I wear a plastic bag underneath it as
But I've got to say, and I'm going to get chastised by both of you for this, In terms of people, I would say that Richie Beno, across Australia and Europe, is probably better known than a whole lot of people you consider to be film stars. Because he just is.
Well, yeah. He's been around. He's been a solid force in a sport that's watched by a lot of people. And again, like I said before, even if you weren't into cricket, you know who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a funny thing because I quite rightly, and I make no excuses for it, I have absolutely no interest in sport at all. And throughout my glorious journalistic career, if I ever got involved in a sports story, you could guarantee I'd make a mess of it. But even I've heard of him. No, I did once.
You did a sports story?
I used to do shifts on the sports desk. I didn't want to do it, but it was part of the contract on, I can't remember, Daily Mirror. It was part of the contract at the time that you had to do shifts on the sports desk because they didn't have enough staff at the time.
Right.
And, you know, at the time, stories used to come in across the wire and you'd have running stories where you'd just get a few paragraphs at a time on each story. And what I was doing, unbeknownst to me, was that I was actually handling the stories on two different matches in different parts of the country. But because my knowledge of sport was so little, I actually ended up putting them together and having four teams playing in the same match.
Yes.
I know.
Doesn't it make you worry about everything that you read in the newspaper, boys and girls?
Don't I worry about everything I read in the newspaper anyway.
Me neither, Rach. Anyway, we wish Richie Benno's family all the very best. A very tough time. And I'm sure, I'm absolutely sure, his broadcasting qualities and some of that which he said, which is just, as I say, such dry humour, will live on for many decades to come. And Richie, you were just lovely. We loved you to bits.
Yeah.
We move on to something. Well, boys and girls, I'm breathing in, trying to get my tummy in a little bit, which is failing dismally.
I'm not even going to bother.
Well, no, you're little. You don't have to worry.
I don't know.
And I'm self-like.
I'm getting a little bit bigger.
Are you, Rachel?
Well,
my metabolism went on vacation, and it appears to have defected to I don't know where, but it's gone.
Oh, right. Anyway, there's another person in the studio with me we will try and talk to later, and it makes us really, all of us, embarrassed chaps.
No, I'm very slim. I'm incredibly slim.
Yeah, right, yeah. No,
I am 19 stone and so 19. Slim.
Do you understand what 19 stone is? Does it mean anything to you?
Yeah, I do, because I'm
weighing. He's 8 feet tall, so really, relatively speaking, it's a bit of a rake.
I'm almost anorexic.
Yeah, right.
That's sad.
There is a person in the studio. We'll try and get to talk to us. She's saying she's not going to.
make you talk.
And she embarrasses all three of us, to be honest. Because she's like a stick insect.
That's a terrible thing to say about a young lady.
Well, it's not. She's tiny.
I think, she's not like a stick insect. She's not sitting on
an imp.
She's got a waist like a stick insect. Little.
That gives the impression she's sitting on a tree, on a branch in a tree, moving really slow.
No, you're not, are you?
No. Of course she isn't.
She's
a voluptuous woman.
She's very clever because you know what she's doing? She's mouthing the word no rather than saying it.
Because if she didn't, she would have actually spoken on the radio. Very
true.
Clever.
But very smart, clever. Yeah, okay, smart. Are you going to say, well, come on then, Rach, say hello to Yana.
Hello, Yana.
Now that's frightened her to death.
Go on,
that's
again.
That's a tumbleweed
again.
Thing.
Go on, and again.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Yana, hello.
There, she said hello to you.
She's not three. Okay. You don't have to talk to her like she's a child.
I'm a child. I'm talking to people like I'm a child.
We'll try and talk some more. Let's get some more news in. Britain's coming.
I want to say hello to Yana.
Oh, she doesn't want to talk
to you.
Thank you. I like you, Yana. You're not like a stick insect. You're like,
I'm not a
bubbly woman. You ready? Do the next story then.
I think it's probably a good idea if we move on, don't you think?
Up to you. I'm quite happy staying here thinking about Yana's bubbles.
You monkey. Right, we move on. Britain's coming.
Either.
Shush. Britain comes just 27th in the world's health league. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's because they're all Mancunians and eat Mars bars and stuff. The obesity level is blamed on. What?
Meat and potato pies. We don't have Mars bars. That's Scottish people.
Sausage sandwiches that you don't even make yourself. What is that?
I know, I send out for my sausage sandwiches.
I know, that's just dreadfully bad.
He doesn't even cook himself, boys and girls. Obesity levels blamed for pushing UK down table, despite being the world's fifth richest country, which means actually you just spend more money in McDonald's, but that's beside the point. I'll give you the table here, because Rachel's got no room to laugh here. Apparently the best place to live in the world for being healthy is Norway, followed by Sweden, Switzerland, Iceland, New Zealand, Canada, Finland, Denmark, and the Netherlands, followed by Australia.
Yeah.
That's Tony Abbott's fault.
Is it?
Yeah, but you're still better off.
Everything's his fault.
Really?
Yeah. Rupert Murdoch. He's made it so horrible that everybody's got sick.
Oh, right. So yeah, what, come on then, Rach, give us a typical, apart from the tinnies, why is the food so bad down there?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think it's great. I mean, because of our weather, we've got some of the best fresh produce anywhere, and a lot of stuff that is seasonal in countries where there's cold weather. We don't have that problem. So, like watermelon, for example, is a summer fruit a lot around the world, but I can get it all year round here.
And
what's the problem there? And do you know what? Just by the way,
what?
I happen to eat watermelon and cantaloupe or rock melon, depending on where you sit yourself in the universe.
Yeah,
I have that all chopped up and in a container every day. Robbie chops it up for me.
Aww.
You chop up an antelope?
No, a cantaloupe or a rock melon, cantaloupe? Depending on where you live.
No, but the food in Australia ain't very clever, Rachel. You have to admit it. In my sojourn through Australia, I lived on Chinese, Indian, fish and chips, and beef burgers.
So, what you're saying?
The only time we had a kangaroo burger
was when I made it.
Rach, how many times have you seen the British tourist come to Australia and eat fish and chips, curry, and Chinese?
They only eat everything they already know because they're afraid. They're culinary philistines, for starters.
Well, that's true.
And also, they are lazy, so they don't bother to cook anything. Case in point, somebody gets their sausage sandwiches delivered.
Yes.
So, go on then, name an indigenous meal to Australia.
An indigenous meal to Australia?
Yeah.
Fish. Anything fish is an indigenous.
I said fish and chips I was eating Australia.
No.
No, you fool.
Yeah.
It's lovely fresh fish
on a barbie
that you usually grill. not necessarily even. You can bake it, but you generally just grill it lightly and put a nice glaze or a nice sauce or a nice smattering of dill and pepper.
Oh, hang on, I'm not letting this continue. You're saying that the only indigenous meal to Australia is fish.
No, I didn't say the only. You told me to name one, and I named one. I didn't say only. Chicken. Kangaroo's very good for you.
Is actually.
I'm the only person who ever made a kangaroo burger in Australia.
I've made kangaroo burgers here.
I made them out of pork and cheese.
You know what? The way you're rabbiting on right now, they're not going to give you a visa to come back ever.
Well, I don't care.
I can't say as I blame them, Rachel.
Well, but they'll give you a box of crackers and say, well, you may only eat these crackers while you were here because you're such an oaf. We can't bear for you to be in all our takeaway stores.
Yeah, exactly.
Cheese crackers, brilliant.
Yeah, right.
You can't have a takeaway for cheese crackers. That's bizarre.
So Rach, can I just do some normal RTI research? Are we saying then that this survey is probably a load of old rubbish because they surveyed people who are on holiday from Britain going to Australia to find out that they're obese anyway?
Britain's the fattest in the world now.
And what's more, while I'm awake at 10 p.m. and on my high horse?
I'll tell you what, she's so belligerent early in the evening.
Yes, I know, she's terrible. And it's that high horse, isn't it?
It's like I've had a snifter of scotch on that belligerent. But it's you know what, they come here and they can't be understood with the survey because their mouth is full of McDonald's.
Yes.
He's a very lucky man, that McDonald.
What, having a mouthful all the time?
But their toilets are clean, aren't they, Uncle?
That's the thing with McDonald's. All travel journalists know the place to go is McDonald's because the food's homogenised. It's usually all right and the toilets are clean. Absolutely true. So you go to Australia, all you do is stand in dingoes, stuff on the streets. Their places are cigarettes, black lung cigarettes.
Mr Banks.
What?
Not your namesake because he spells it L-double-E. But the SMS says, for the other Lee, you are such a British tourist.
I am, and I'm an expat. I live in Spain like the rest of Britain does.
I like that, mate. Thank you. If you want to join in the conversation, +421 gets you to Slovakia. Use your, if you're in America, you need to use your exit code. Then +421 904 261 345. Or chat to us on the chat room as well. You're very welcome.
Yes. Henry's chatting to me privately on Facebook. Henry's saying hello to us.
Hello, Henry.
Hello, Henry.
Henry got upset the other day.
Why? What did you do to him?
I didn't do anything. It was just that somebody must have ruffled his feathers because he went on alarming about the bean, and I agree with him about the bean counters in radio. And I agree with him.
Oh, yeah, ta-da. He's right, yeah.
He's absolutely right.
I've upset him today uh-oh, for a scurrilous attack on the world media.
Oh, right.
So you've it's newspapers. And newspapers are junk.
Yeah. Ah, I can see.
Did you feel that? A silence there.
I've just been.
I wrapped my fish up in them.
Rach.
My goodness, Rachel.
Yeah. I've just been handed a mobile phone, which I won't mention the name of. It's just gonna bleep. And somebody's been surfing for you on the interweb, namely Facebook, and found a picture with your hard boiled eggs and your lentils, I think it is.
Oh no, that's my shoyu ramen that I made that took 2 days to cook.
Because
it's got three different stocks. It's the ramen I used to eat when I lived in Tokyo, and I was trying to replicate it because it's very delicious. And it took me 2 whole days and a trip to a very special store here in Melbourne to get the exact right ingredients to do it. And it took me 2 days, and it was worth it.
Really? So you've got to be careful now, because everything you say, it's on the interweb. We will find it because Petra.
We will.
Because,
exactly.
Unlike Petra.
Everything I post on the interweb is done with the knowledge that somebody's going to use it against me, so that's okay.
That's all right. Because unlike Petra, Jana is now surfing around the interweb looking at Petra and Lee. Rachel and Lee, to make sure they're not telling porky pies.
See? Uh-huh. Watch. See if I'm an anorexic 19 stone.
Yes. Which is
can
not.
Can I just say?
You're going to anyway, so I can't stop you.
You might be able to, because I think I've forgotten what I was just going to say. I've held on to it for ages, and it's just... Oh, no, my battery's going now. So, anyway, carry on without me.
Bennett. Lee.
What?
You've just waffled for so long, we've almost run out of time of part one.
So sorry.
You were waffling... But, Rachel, will you just stop asking him questions so he shuts up?
That's what I said about her.
No, wrong way round, mate.
Should we have a talk off? Me and Rachel should have a talk off. See who can go the longest without stopping.
What?
Talking.
Oh, without speaking or stopping?
Well, you mean like the radio show?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
We do it every
just
week.
An hour.
Yeah, but there's one thing you've forgotten.
What?
I've got the fader. Yeah. See you in part two, boys and girls. Don't go away. Here comes the commercial break.
If your dream holiday is 2 hours from the UK, perfect for children and teenagers, young couples and the older visitor, ideal for the physically active and for those who just want to unwind, Aqua City is the destination for you. Described by the Travel Channel as the place that will soon be on everybody's lips, be ahead of the crowd and the envy of your friends, but still enjoy a home from home. Come to Aqua City Poprad, the world's leading green resort.